praise the Lord. Appreciate family's ministry. I've enjoyed listening to that around the house.
You know, I was out working the project that we got going on, listening to that thought, man, that's a nice sound to have going on around the house. We'll dismiss the children and go with Mrs. Short to the class, all right? You can head that way. And the rest of us can open up our Bibles, please. Philippians chapter 4. And most of you know that our church has a missions program, okay? We've got, in the back, on the back table, we've got two ways that we give at our church. We give to the church needs in the brown box. And then on the right-hand side on the back table, we got a globe. It's not just a nice globe. I like globes. You know, it's fun to look at and see different places there. But it's actually a bank, okay? In the top, there's a slit in the top, and that is for giving to missions, okay? And our mission that we support right now is the Kelly family. And they serve God in Ireland. Brother Layton was a heroin addict that the O'Gorman, Steve O'Gorman, that's come here to preach our family conference. Their family reached Layton in their church and then helped him in his later teen years. And he got, his life was pretty messed up, but he got over here to Scotland to a drug rehabilitation type place that was Christian, and God got him on the right path, all right? I can't remember when he got saved and all that that took place, but got his life right with God. God called him to preach, and he started a men's home in Ireland that is called New Life Residential Center, and they house 20 men in their properties, and they help these guys for a year as they come off drugs or other addictions, and as they teach them the gospel. And it's a great thing that they're doing for the Lord. They also have a Reformers Unanimous program. I'd love to have us start something like this in the future if God would allow us to. We're running at full steam right now, okay? So this is future, but on a Friday night, they have an addictions ministry to help people that are struggling with alcohol addiction or any addictions, drug addiction, pornography, or cigarettes, or whatever it is that they're struggling with, that we'd have something to help them specifically know that God gives victory over addictions. And so that's great. We support this ministry, and that's right now our missionary that we support in his family. We've done that for about 5 years now. We've just gotten to the point as a church that we've had an increase in our missions giving, and we voted as a church to take 10% of our general fund that is given in the brown box and put that to missions. And so we're prepared, Lord willing, to take another missionary on at a monthly support amount. That's exciting. So 3 weeks again from today, the Callum family is coming. Brother Stephen is going to share with us what God's doing in their lives and how God's directed their lives. And I look forward to hearing the testimonies. I look forward to hearing about Romania and seeing, I'm sure we'll see at some point, a video presentation of their field. And just getting to know them and spending time with them and getting burdened about what God has called them to do. And then as a church, we'll be praying and asking God, God, is this who you want us to take on for support? As they come, what they'll do is what Paul and Barnabas did when they reported to the church at Jerusalem. Acts 15:3 says, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." And I mean, they're coming back, and Paul, his ministry was to these Gentile nations, and they're coming back and saying, God's done great things. We're seeing people get saved, and churches established, and they brought great joy to the church. And then verse 4, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. So they came back to that sending church agency that had laid their hands upon them and sent them out. And they came back and said, this is what God's done. And we are blessed in our day with a bit of technology that makes it a bit easier for us to regularly communicate with those that support us. Our family is a missionary family as well. We're supported from the States. And so next year, I mentioned on Thursday night, next year, we'll be back for a time in the States reporting to these churches. That's biblical. I mean, that's what the New Testament missionary did as he went back, and he shared the gospel. And so we got the Kelms coming as a church. Our missions program is just getting started. And this is the ground floor as we establish the church even more as we build up our missions program. And I want to prepare us for what God's doing and what God will do in our hearts in 3 weeks by preaching specifically this morning on missions giving. And there's a primary example in the Word of God that Paul used when it came to giving to missions, or a church that really helped him out. And it was a region in particular. It was Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians 8:1, he said to the church at Corinth, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And so Paul, to the church at Corinth, said, "I want to just tell you about this region, Macedonia, and the burden that they've had. Not that they were rich, but their deep poverty. It abounded unto the riches of their liberality, how that with great joy they gave." And so this is an example that Paul would lift up before the churches that he was establishing and say, you know what, these guys got, when it comes to giving to missions, they know what it's all about. And in that region of Macedonia, he singles out a church that is located at one city, and the city is Philippi. And that's our text this morning. And it's the Philippians that God's word uses in our text here to challenge our hearts and challenge other hearts about what it is to give to missions, what missions giving is all about. So I want to charge our church today to develop a Church of Philippi missions program. Okay, we're on the ground floor. We're just establishing it. As a church, we're praying about it together. We're asking God, what can we do for missions, or how can we build this up? Let's ask God, please help us have a Church at Philippi missions program that we would participate in missions giving as they did there. And let me ask you this morning, just thinking about this between you and yourself and the Lord, what is your missions giving? How have you established it? What does it look like? If you put it on paper, I mean, this is my missions giving. This is how I participate in worldwide evangelism, which, by the way, the Word of God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We participate in that through worldwide evangelism by participating in missions. And so what's your part in the fulfillment of that part of the Great Commission? And so as we look at it today, maybe the Spirit of God speak to your heart and say, you know what, I can add that. I can change that. And I can make myself into a better giver to missions, just like the church at Philippi. So let's pray, ask the Spirit of God to help us as we come to the Word of God. Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning in Philippians chapter 4. And Father, I thank you that the missions giving in our church is going up. Praise God. Father, I rejoice in that as a pastor. That delights my heart. Because, Father, it delights the heart of God. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to us this morning. Father, there are some great things that we can do for God by participating financially in giving to the cause of worldwide evangelism. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts about it as we come to your precious word this morning. Father, speak my heart. I pray that you challenge all of us. Give us grace to really be ready to be challenged and to say, you know, we can do more for Christ. I love Faith Promise missions in the States, Lord, and that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning, but just the idea of dedicating to God, I'm going to give this much each month to missions by faith. And Father, there's a lot of people that found the blessing of that who every year examine that and say, you know, I want to do more for God in missions and increase that. And so I pray, challenge us the same way this morning. Father, I can't speak without your help. And so I pray that the Spirit of God would guide me as I speak. And Father, I pray that you give us ears to hear and that you be glorified. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, our text this morning, Philippians chapter 4, and verses 10 through 20, and giving like the church at Philippi, establishing a Philippi church missions program. So to give to missions like the church at Philippi, you must first be personal in your giving. Okay, be personal in your giving. Verse 10, by the way, let me just give you a heads up. 11 points this morning, or 12, all right? And short points, okay? I can see nobody's laughing. They're like, Pastor, you preached really long last Sunday. Be personal in your giving. Verse 10 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you're also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Okay, your care of me. Did the church at Philippi know Paul? And the answer is yes. Paul knew them quite well. And remember with Paul, on his missionary journeys, they were praying about going into these different places, and the Bible says the Spirit suffered them not. And they were burdened about, and they wanted to go, but they couldn't go. But then they got the Macedonian vision. Macedonia, what's there? Philippi. And so we read the Word of God, Acts 16, verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assured the gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we are in that city abiding certain days. And so they come and they're there. And so what's going to happen? They're going to meet people. And people are going to get saved. That is the church being established. And so Paul personally led some of these people to the Lord. Verse 14 says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so Lydia gets saved. What happened? She invites Paul over to their house. She obviously was a wealthy woman. She was a seller of purple. She had a grand house. And she made it available to these ministers as they're traveling. And she put them up. What happened? They got to know Lydia and her family. And then, you know, they suffered together as Paul and Silas are put in prison there in Philippi as the magistrate ran off the clothes and commanded to beat them. And they laid many stripes upon them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They suffered there for Christ, and the church there began to suffer for Christ as well in that Philippian jail. Praise God, he became a member of the church. Right? He got saved and he's baptized. And so we got Lydia, we got the Philippian jailer's family. They're part of that local body that Paul knew. Twice after that, on the third missionary journey, Paul came back through there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 1 and 2. Paul called unto his disciples, embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, okay, so he's been through Philippi, and they given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. But then in verse 6, they came back, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them into Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So they knew Paul in a personal way. Our family traveled on what's called deputation, raising support to come here to Scotland to start a church. We traveled for 4 years and 3 months. I said it before, but 280 churches that God took us to that we got to minister in. And there were many exciting things about that. But there are people that think, let's do away with deputation. There's got to be a better way. The Baptist church in the United States called the Southern Baptist Church is a convention. It's more closely associated than we are. We're independent Baptists. That means we're not part of an association. Okay, we're just local independent churches, but they're part of a convention. And so, with the conventions, when they come together, the people give money to missions. That money goes to the national convention, and from there goes to their mission agency, IBM, International Mission Board, and from there it's dispersed. But what's the problem? problem is in those local churches, they never have a personal connection with the missionary that they're actually supporting and helping on the foreign field. And that's important. It's important. Why? Because if you're not associated with that missionary, you may disagree with that missionary doctrinally. There's plenty of Southern Baptist missionaries that are liberal, that are deny the truth of the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God, and they're and liberalism has crept into that denomination. There might be a missionary that practically you don't agree with them. You might not agree with their worldliness. You know, they look like the world, sound like the world, act like the world, and you know, you're not interested in supporting somebody like that. Doesn't have a lifestyle that is different from the world because Christ is different from the world. They may be a missionary that gets to the field and they think missions is digging wells, and missions is starting soup kitchens, and missions is building houses, and missions is orphanages, but missions is not that outside of the gospel, right? You might do those things with the gospel, and that could be called missions. But to neglect the gospel and just go and do a social program, that's not missions. And so as a church, we want to have somebody come, and as they stand up here, we want to be able to ask them questions and get to know them and get to know what they're doing and how God is using them so that we have that personal connection, which you'll see is important later in our text. And so we need to be personal in our giving. And then we need to be bountiful in our giving. Bountiful. Verse 10 says, "Well, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." You flourished again. Like the daffodils coming up right now. I mean, we're seeing it, aren't we? It's spring. I guess it's here. We kind of wonder sometimes. But you see that the daffodils coming up, or you see the snowdrops coming up, and they flourish again. And you just know next year they're going to come up again. Next year they're going to come up again. They're consistently being brought back to life. I like perennials. I have to look at these words because I get confused, because I think annuals should come up annually. All right, I hope I didn't just confuse you. They don't. Annuals are plants that you plant annually. All right. Perennials are plants that come back. I like perennials because I like to know that it's going to be there next year. It's going to be there the year after that. You can count on them. Listen, are you perennial in your missions giving? Flourishing again? That is something that you can do consistently. Not that it's something you do one-off. Well, there it is. But that's something that you're involved in regularly. Flourishing again. You need to be giving to God consistently. You need to be living in the present in our giving. Again, the idea of flourish again, it's not in the past I did that, and that's good enough. It's that I want to do it again. We had a lovely old man at the church in Georgia where we went on outreach ministry when we were at Bob Jones University in South Carolina. We traveled over on the weekends to Georgia. And the pastor's... Papa Webb. Sorry, I have to think who it is. It's Mrs. Burrell, Pastor Burrell's wife's dad. He was like 98, 99. All right, he was quite old. But he had a story that every time you came, when you saw Papa Webb, great old man, he'd come up to you, he'd start telling you a story, same story. And it was a story about how he met his wife, and it's an incredible story. He knew her, and he happened by her house one night, and he invited him in for a meal. There was a thunderstorm. His future father-in-law was standing on the porch, and lightning struck the porch, killing his father-in-law before becoming his father-in-law, and the dog underneath the porch. He tells his story, and he talked about after that he helped this lady and her mom, and how that's how God started everything, you know. And it's a sad story, but it's a glorious story too, you get what I'm saying? And I didn't mind hearing it again and again and again. I mean, because he loved telling it. But listen, God doesn't want us to live in the past like that in our missions giving. It's not, well, I mean, something, and that's a kind of a tragic story, but it's also a glorious story because he ends up marrying the girl. But he doesn't want us to live in the past with, I did something great for missions back then. God wants us to be looking at it from the standpoint of what Paul said, flourishing again. That it's another opportunity to give to God. We need to be bountiful in our giving. Just like Paul said, Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Paul didn't live in the past with the great things he had done for God. He lived in the present looking at it saying, what can I do for God? How can I get involved in accomplishing something? And specifically in our context, how can I get involved in being consistent in my missions giving, that it's present, that it's something that I'm doing now? And so we need to be bountiful in our giving. And then be careful in our giving. Verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that not the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. If you look that word up, careful, the Greek word means to interest oneself in. To interest oneself in. And so they were interested in it. I mean, they cared about what Paul was doing, what he needed. Why would you give something to something you're not interested in? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that might be you today. You're not that involved in missions because you don't really care about missions. I mean, you might say you care about the gospel. You might say you care about worldwide evangelism. But the reality is, if you're not involved financially in it, how much do you really care? We give to things that we care about. I came to a Morrison's, and there's Mary Curry people collecting. You know, I saw lots of people stopping because they obviously care about that cause and giving to that cause. Who's going to give to something that they don't care about, that they're not interested in? And so are you interested in missions giving? I mentioned the men's retreat that's coming up in Ireland. And one of the things that we'll do is we'll fellowship with the 20 guys that are in the New Hope Residential Center because they'll be there for camp. And we'll get to spend time with Leighton Kelly and Aiden, who works with them. And that's good. Why? Because that's going to build interest in the hearts of our men with what God's doing there. We're going to go by the center probably on that Friday night and stop by there and see the place that God's provided. And get to know Brother Leighton, who is the person that we actually support and what they're doing there. On Thursday nights, in our church, I read a prayer letter every Thursday night. You know, I read prayer letters to people that we don't support, but there's some, probably half a dozen different entities, or maybe a little more than that we regularly read. Why? So that we can get interested in what God's doing there. Why? Because it helps us when it comes to not just missions giving, but missions involvement and praying, asking God to work in these people's fields. We're going to have the Callum family here. Why are they coming? Because why would we care about supporting somebody that we don't know, that we're not interested in? But my hope is this: they come, they present their field, that God will work in our hearts, and that we get excited about not just Romania, but we get excited about China, that we get excited about Russia, that we get excited about Africa, that we get excited about India, that we get excited about South America, that we get excited about even the United States and Britain and nations that need the gospel, right? It ought to get us fired up. We say, you know, that's true. Missionaries need to go there. How are they going to get there? They got to be supported. Who's going to support them? If everybody did what I do for foreign missions, how many people would it take to put one missionary on the field? You know, we got to start looking at, like, what am I really contributing to? But part of it might be, I'm not careful about it. I'm not interested in it. So let's get interested. And so be careful when you're giving. That means be interested in. And then be watchful in your giving. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. It's kind of like this. They were ready to help. They wanted to help, but the opportunity hadn't come up yet. I mean, they were just anticipating. So they're careful. They're interested in what's taking place with Paul. And as soon as there's a need, they're going to step in. They lacked opportunity, but now they had opportunity to participate in what was going on in Paul's life. You know, one of the missionaries that I read about is Matt Jones. He's in Thailand, and Matt's the big, tall American in a country where the average person is probably at his elbow, okay? And their family walks around, and he says everybody just stares at him. they stand out. But, you know, Matt's doing good work for God there in that country. Recently, he had the opportunity to go to Peru with his son to participate in a minister's kids, missionary kids camp and be encouragement and blessing to them. And he needed finances for it. The flights, if I remember correctly, the flights were $1,100, $1,200 that needed to be raised and some other things. But you know, if as a church we weren't watchful of a prayer letter when it comes through and paying attention to what's taking place, we wouldn't know the needs that are there on that field. I read a prayer letter this morning. Sam Sanderlin is a missionary in Cameroon. He's a pilot. Okay? Cameroon, as you know, because of the recent death of Charles Wesco, is some areas of it are closed field. Brother Wesco was a missionary that was shot and killed about 3 months ago. Okay? And so, I'm reading his prayer letter, and I read this morning that they found another spot of cancer, a skin cancer, and he had that removed. And he just briefly mentioned thanking God for God's provision, because in the States, with insurance, you have a deductible, and it's quite high a lot of times. You know, we need to be aware of that kind of thing. We're reading about what God's doing on the field. We're reading about places like the Caribbean Radio Ministry and the radio tower needing equipment, or Leighton Kelly just mentioned to us, and he's our guy that we support. But he mentioned that they need a new bus for their ministry and said, hey, please pray about it. And if God touched your heart about giving something towards that, please do. And that's what this is about, isn't it? Be watchful when we're giving so that we read something like that. And God may not have us give to every one of those needs that we read about and we know about, but as we pray about it, are we tender enough that if the Spirit of God says, hey, why don't you do something about that and help them with that need, that we're watchful, and we say, yes, Lord, I mean, I want to participate and take that opportunity if we have the means to assist in specific needs that we know about because we're observing what's going on in our missionaries' lives. So be watchful. And then be thoughtful in your giving. Thoughtful. You know, the church was thoughtful to provide for the servants of God, or the servant of God, that was doing the will of God, because that's God's method of providing for that man's needs. Paul said in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. And Paul's just saying, thank you for meeting my need. And I'm truly thankful to God that you did, but it's not because I'm greedy. It's not because I'm trying to get wealthy. It's not because, you know, I'm trying to pad my bank account. It's, you know, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. And there's times in life where I've had little, there's times when I've had a lot. I'm not saying this to you, church at Philippi, because I'm trying to, you know, hold up the Visa sign and say, hey, you know what, give more because I want to get rich. There's a legitimate way that God has provided for God's servants to live, and it's like the Old Testament, they that work in the temple live of the temple. Those that were priests in the Old Testament, you'll see, they were supported from the giving of God's people to the temple. It's the same in the New Testament, biblically. That's God's way of providing for God's servants. And Paul had to rebuke the church at Corinth that he was at that did not meet his needs, but criticized him. 2 Corinthians is really a defense of Paul and his apostolic authority and what God called him to do against some false teachers that had crept into the church at Corinth. But one of those things was that they were accusatory towards him regarding this. And he said to them, actually, he said, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? By freely, he means without charge. Okay? It doesn't mean just I freely gave it out. It means without remuneration. Verse 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Others were paying my salary. And when I was present with you and wanting, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, the church at Philippi, supplied. In all things I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Paul knew that with that church, if he took from them, that it would be wrongly understood. Okay? And so he didn't do that. He suffered rather than taking, but he had to rebuke them and say, look, it is right for you to meet the needs. As a church, our goal 20 years from now is to have a self-supporting pastor, or sooner if God provides, self-supporting pastor in this church. Why should this church have a minister that's supported by foreign funds if this church has the ability to supply the needs of a minister? Regardless of however God does it, we as a church need to be praying about, hey, let's support our own minister. That's what our church giving is about. You know, praise God again for what's taking place in our church giving. But that's what it's about. And so thoughtfulness is understanding, you know, as we think about giving to missions and stuff, it's not a missionary coming that, you know, he's lazy, doesn't know how to work, and so you got to support him. No, it's that if you do ministry as God intends you to do it, it's full-time and you don't have time to raise other money. And if you do have to raise other money, it takes away from what you could be doing for the Lord. And so thoughtfulness understands that. Be thoughtful in your giving. Be tangible in your giving. Verse 14 says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Okay, communicating means you did something about it. I had a problem. The problem was I lacked, but you supplied my lack because you communicated with me. They gave something tangible. In other words, they didn't just write a letter and say, hey, Paul, just want you to know we're burdened about that. We care about that. We're praying about your needs and praying God meet your needs. They said this, Paul, we're praying that God would meet your needs, and we want to help supply that. We want to help answer that prayer. It'd be vain for us to pray about missions. You know, we prayed about the Kellys had a support need. We know that as a church. They were down to like 50-some percent of the support they need on the field, right? He had to go back to the States, and he's from Ireland, but he had to go to the States, raise support for a few months, be away from his family. So what did we do as a church? Well, we made an increase in our support. Why? Because we're praying, God, meet the needs. That's what we do. We have to pray and say, God, help us to tangibly do something. Because sometimes it's vain to pray if we can participate. James 2, verse 15, we talked about this verse recently in the context of giving. If a brother or sister be unclothed, they be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, if it hath faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And so we can say to God, God, we're really trusting you to supply this need. God, we might have someday a young person in our church that God calls to missions, and we'll say, hey, we're praying that God will get you to that field as a sending church. Our church ought to say, dear God, by the grace that you give, we want to take a large part of that support. And we want to give so that person. By the way, my wife's been burned by this. She mentioned me last night. Well, let's be praying that God raise up missionaries out of our young people, right? Ministers out of our young people. We need preachers. Okay, we do. God's blessed us with some young men, hasn't he? We need to be praying, God, if that's your will for our child, God, call them. But we need to be ready to stand behind them as a church and say, you know, I want to do this tangibly and actually give something to God. So we need to be praying that God will help us to be tangible in our giving. And then be faithful in your giving. Verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You know, their interest never waned. They're interested in helping. It never waned. They were faithful, though. You're the only church. You know this church at Philippi. You were the only ones. When I started out, you're the only ones behind me, supporting me. By the way, that church in Philippi has some great reward in heaven because of their investment. Think about who they invested in. we invested in Paul. You and I, today, with the Word of God in our hands, are holding truth that was brought about through the faithfulness of the giving of the church at Philippi as they supported the man of God that went onto those mission fields. That's significant. The reward of what God did through them. Why? Because they were faithful, even though nobody else was. When God called us to Scotland, I've shared my testimony before. My desire was never to get up in front of people and speak. I was quite the opposite of that. So when God called me, even though I was in ministry, I was already up doing stuff like this. And by the way, I hope you understand, I have to pray and ask God every time I get up to speak to help me speak. And I appreciate you pray that way as well, okay? Because this is not something that I aspire to do. So the idea for me, when God called me to Scotland, I knew God called me to Scotland, but I did not feel like God called me to deputation. Why? Because deputation meant I had to go into all these churches that, I mean, full of people I don't know, some of them very large. And I, whether large or small, I got to stand up and speak. That to me was a kind of a scary thing. But anyway, this is an aside. You go into these churches and you find there are some churches that are missions-minded. There's a church, Great Hope Baptist Church in Virginia, that I think they support one missionary in like every country and several within, you know, smaller countries. I mean, it's incredible. You look at their mission board and you just go, God's blessed them. They got a lot of people that work for, I think, NASA or something like that that's in the area. I mean, they, God's blessed them with some people that have financial means available to really do a lot for the Lord. But they're trying to, they got a vision to say, hey, we want to touch every place in the world with the gospel. Other churches, you know, you come in, they've got their mission board, and it's great to see so many churches. And you know, the church can only do what they can do as far as supporting. And some churches, whether, you know, God accepts it according to what a man hath, right? Not what he hath not. And so they might be doing as much as that church I just mentioned with what God's given to them. They'll have their mission board, they've got their prayer letter, they got the picture of the missionary, and maybe a wood map or something that is a world map, and they've got pins representing where the different people are, and they've got a vision for it. My own church, our church in Hudson, Wisconsin, that is our sending church and the church I grew up in. When my dad was there as minister, they got world clocks. Okay, the Mall of America is close to my house, and there's a shop there that had all these world clocks with the flag of that country. So we put these clocks up with all these different countries, and it's in the back foyer of the church, and they're set to the time of the mission field of where those people are. It's kind of a neat thing. But what you find is there are churches that, you know what, they are faithful in their giving. And I think it'd be a very sad thing to come back to Free Baptist Church 20 years from now and to find that we're still just supporting the Kelly family. You know, I mean, that's one thing right now that God's allowed us to do, and we say praise God for that. But we have a vision and say, no, we want to be faithful in this thing. We want to accomplish something because we want to be involved. Or we cannot be involved. But God, help us to be faithful in giving. And then be profitable in your giving. Verse 17 says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul said, you know, when I get excited about church, I get excited because I know that God is going to bless you. I'm excited because there's fruit that's going to abound to your account. I just mentioned it. I mean, the New Testament in the book of Philippians is a testimony to the fruit of these people that were faithful to give of what they had for the cause of Christ in the gospel. Be profitable. Paul said, or Jesus said, Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God says, hey, church, we ought to be investing in eternity. How do we do that? And it's physical investment. It's back there. That's it. It's us in getting involved in God's work. God blesses that. I'll share a story. This is kind of like my wife said to me recently. I shared some stories of answers to prayer at a prayer breakfast recently. And she said, and actually at a youth activity, I shared a story. And I'm starting to share more stories. I'm getting older. it's like that in Joshua where the children looked to their dad and said, "What mean these stones?" And he talked to him and he said, "Look, God brought us over Jordan. And God divided the waters." And I want to share a story like that a little bit. And Katie and I have just been married about a year and a half, or 2 years. And I was burdened coming out of Bob Jones to buy a house for my family. I grew up in a pastor's home that had a parsonage. And a parsonage is housing provided for you, but you don't own it. So when you get done, you don't have equity. All right? So when it's time to retire, you don't have anything to retire in. Okay? And so, you know, they taught us at uni that you need to really be praying, asking God to help me buy a house. Okay, so I was burdened about that. And I'm a, you know, young husband, and I want to provide for my family. And so I remember, we were in New York City, we had a basement apartment in Queens. It was 400 square feet. It had four windows like that. Okay, we'd lived there for a year and a half. Then God brought us to Michigan. We came to Michigan, I remember driving, and I'd look at the houses along the roads we're driving. And I remember one time in particular, tears in my eyes, just thinking, God, I want to provide something like that for my family. You know? And it just seemed impossible. And but they had a loan in the United States that paid everything. You had no deposit needed. You just had to come up with closing costs. And we qualified for it. And we found a house that was a beautiful house. I wish I could show you. It was a three-bedroom, two-bath house with a garage that was 700 square feet attached, three-quarters of an acre with a two-acre pond behind it in Michigan. They just love the property. And we found it. We loved it. It was bought back by a bank, and it wasn't advertised very well. And it was on a dead-end road, and we saw it. That's how we found out about it. We made an offer they accepted that was like $25,000 less than it appraised for. But it had to be rezoned, and we didn't know that, and that held it up. While it was being held up, our church had a big need, financial need. And so they're going to have a special offering. Well, as we prayed about the offering, we had the closing costs. It was like $1,700. We had it. That was a lot of money for us. But the church had this need, and as we prayed about it, God put on our hearts to give significantly. And we gave over half of what we had to that church need. Well, now we're getting ready for closing on a house that we really want to get and don't have a deposit or the closing costs. Long story short, we started too long. God provided. It was held up till just as we had it. We bought it. That house, by the way, we sold it 2 years later when God called us into missions. We added onto the property, split the side yard off, rezoned it ourselves because... it's a long story. And profited $35,000 in Michigan when the economy wasn't good. And I mean, that's a significant amount today. Go back 20 years or 12 years, whatever it was back then. And God provided. Why? Because we honored God. You can't ever outgive God. I mean, there's not going to be a time where you go, oh, you know, I wish I hadn't given because now I don't have. If that's the way you give, there's something missing. Something's not right, because when you give to God, God is going to meet your needs. It is profitable to give to God. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." Listen, God's going to give in accordance with how you give. If God isn't giving greatly, maybe stop and look at it and say, what am I giving to God? Why should I expect God to bless if I'm not involved in giving to God? Be profitable in your giving. Better than that, be acceptable in your giving. Verse 18, Paul again, he said, "But I have all in abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Now get these statements. "An odor of a sweet smell." To who? God. "A sacrifice acceptable." To who? God. "Well-pleasing." To God. You know, something better than being profitable in my giving is that, Lord, whether you meet my needs or not, I know this honored you. And I know you're pleased with this. And God, I'd rather delight your heart, because that's what it's about. I'd rather please you than have extra whatever, because that is temporary and that is meaningless. God, it's about sacrificing. And by the way, it's called sometimes sacrificial giving. And that's, you know, that's a great thing, isn't it? When somebody gives sacrificially and God blesses. Remember, Jesus is watching. See, I'm glad as pastor, I don't know what people give, and I don't want to know. I don't know, but God does. And see, Jesus knows this morning, and he's watching this morning. And he's watching as we give, and he's observing that just like he did the widow at the temple. And he saw what that lady gave, just like he saw Ananias and Sapphira give and knew that they lied to the Holy Ghost, right? I mean, God's watching. It's a wonderful joy to give when God is pleased. And we can please him. For God loved the cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. So be acceptable in your giving. Be sustainable in our giving. Sustainable. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We've got a lot of talk in the news right now about sustainable fisheries in Europe and Scottish fishing rights. And what are they talking about? They're talking about if you deplete the stock, then you're not going to have it for future generations. And so you could think this morning, well, if I give to God, I'm not going to have to give in the future. But the reality is, sustained giving is giving to God and then seeing God meet my needs, right? A lot of people like to take this verse out of context. You know, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But the context is what? It's those that have faithfully given to God. You know, if you're not experiencing that, you're either not giving as God intended or you're not trusting as God intended. Because that promise is true. Is that promise true this morning? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus if I'm faithfully giving to God, faithfully using the resources that he has given me. It's absolutely true. And so we'll find it. We cannot possibly find it otherwise. And so the Bible says in Malachi 3 verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room to receive it. You know, as we seek to give to God, God's going to give us great opportunity. There's going to be greater giving to us that we can give back to God. The last point is be humble in our giving. Be humble in our giving. Verse 20 says, now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Yes, Paul's challenging to give. Paul's rejoicing. Why? Because God is glorified. Listen, when the gospel went out through Paul to us and to others and around that area, it was financed by the church at Philippi. Who did it bring glory to?
The Lord.
Jesus. Listen, is God glorified if the Stephen and his family have to leave the field of Romania because they can't afford to be there? And so the church isn't established and the gospel isn't given now. But when we participate in missions, it enables somebody to take the gospel to that place, and then it brings about a local church that brings great glory to God. And so this morning, if you were to take out your paper, you know, and write down and say, God, this is my missions participation, my program that I'm involved in through the local church. What is it this morning? Is it personal? You know, that's what we're going to seek to do as a church, isn't it? We're going to have people in that we get to know. And is it bountiful? Flourishing again? Is it careful? Are you interested in missions? Or not really. We get interested. Are you watchful? Looking for opportunities to give? You know, let me say this as well. When the missionary comes, we're going to take a love offering. That's not support. That's just us giving. All the giving that goes into the brown box on that day will go into the hands of the Kellen family to be a blessing to them. We need to pray ahead of time. Say, God, what would you have me to give to be a blessing to them? Be watchful. So look for that opportunity. Be thoughtful. Realize it's God's plan. Be tangible. Give something. I mean, even if it's whatever. I mean, don't not participate. Give something. Be faithful, even if no one else, maybe nobody else gets excited about it, but be faithful. Be profitable. God's going to bless. Be acceptable. God will be pleased. Be sustainable. God will supply. Be humble, because God will get glory. All right? And if we give like that, wow, what a missions program we have. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take these truths and put them deep into our hearts. Father, we want to have a church at Philippi Missions Program. And so I pray, Father, may the Spirit of God give us grace to do that. And Father, I pray in our hearts just now, Lord, what it's about this morning is really about examining our lives and saying, God, is there something you want me to change? And Father, if there is, I pray, don't let us walk out the door without saying, you know what? God, I commit right now. It might be a certain amount. Lord, I'm going to give X amount per month or per week to missions. Father, my prayer as pastor is not that we could just add one missionary this year. Father, we could do that almost just through the 10% of our general fund giving. But Father, that we could look at it maybe in July, and Lord, as a church, we could say, you know, we've got enough to take another missionary on. And Father, that we could start praying about who that would be. But Father, that be consistent, that be faithful giving that can be counted on to help us as a church to put missionaries on mission fields. And so may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to really surrender our finances to you. Let you have your way. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, I Surrender All. I Surrender All. 390. Stand with me, please. We sing 390. Amen. Thank you for being here today, Hilda. It was great to have you visit with us today. Thank you for coming. And tonight, 5:15, we've got our youth choir practice, and we've got our men's prayer time. And so ask God to bless those times. And then 6 o'clock, we've got our continued study of Proverbs. So we're in Proverbs chapter 6, I believe, finishing that up tonight. And just be praying that God will bless that. The last danger is listed there. It's the danger of turning away from this book and what happens to the life of the person that does. And so that's our last danger, and we'll be into chapter 7 next week. All right, thank you for being here today. Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God bless the Word of God to our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray, may Jesus Christ be glorified. And Father, I pray for each heart of each person that really is right with God and is pleasing to you. Lord, that each heart would go away encouraged. If anybody's holding back from God in any way, may the Spirit of God speak to their heart about that. And God, bring the victory. And Father, help us to have a victorious church, a church that is really excited about serving God, excited about pleasing God, excited about missions giving. Lord, this really is a thrilling opportunity that you've given to us to participate in missions. And God, we thank you for it. And God, we pray that we'd be faithful to do our part as Spirit of God, the Church of Lonehead. And thank you for your goodness, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.